Amen. Amen. Let's add that to the list and keep it there, all right? I like it. Good to see everyone this morning. First of all, we want to thank our brothers who led us in the service thus far. The table, the songs, the prayer, the time of giving, and just everything we've had thus far. We thank the Lord once again, and once again we welcome in our visitors, and we thank you for being here with us this morning. You could have gone anywhere, but we're thankful that you spent some time with us on this morning. And if you're visiting with us for the first time today, would you just put your hand in the air? You ain't got to do no speech or nothing big, but all right, amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Good to see you again. And we're thankful for God and all that he does. So I had a nice PowerPoint, real pretty, made up and all that kind of stuff. And somehow the technology has not been working with us too good this morning. So we're going to have to do a little old school. I hope you got your Bibles. I got your Bibles, all right? Ain't going to be nothing on the screen for you to rely on right now. Well, or you could use a device. You could use a device. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. The book still works. Isaiah 43. There's so much. We could read the whole chapter, but we won't. I'm going to do a little jumping around. I'm just start at verse 1, and we'll probably go to verse 21. I may jump around a little bit in there. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I, the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, I gave Egypt for the ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they might be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have waved, and I have showed where there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord. I am God. Verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it be? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, and whose cry is in their ships, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. We almost there, y'all. Stay with me. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Father in heaven, your word has already spoken to many of us. Your word has already taught. Help us as we continue to dig into this lesson, into this meal. Help us to be able to gain everything that we need, to see what we need to see, to hear what we need to hear, and to do what we need to do based upon what we see and hear in the truth of your word. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Whew. The title, if you take titles of sermons, the title of this is When Life Doesn't Look Like It Used To. When life doesn't look like it used to. Do you notice that the seasons of life don't ask our opinions to come and to go? You know, summer doesn't ask for our opinion. Spring doesn't ask for our opinion. They just come and go. And sometimes even the changing and transitions of seasons, sometimes they blend so quickly and easily that we don't even know one's moving out and one's moving in sometimes. It's a little confusing. What do they call it? Indian summer? Very confusing, right? But life is full of change and full of challenges. If you've read the article that I wrote for the newsletter, we talked about some changes that are going on right now in our congregation. There's some families that are moving away that made some significant contributions to us here at Green Bank. Enoch and his family are moving away to Honduras. Others are moving to other states. Seth and Jeanette are moving away. Many of us helped them to pack and to move. The Jennings family is moving away. So we've got some change. We've got some transition that's happening even right now. This last 2 weeks, I've preached two different funerals. There's changes that happen in our lives right now. As we were celebrating a couple weeks ago, there's a new addition coming into our family. My son's wife, they're going to be having a child, so we're going to be grandparents again in September. There's blessings and new changes that are happening, right? And once again, now it's summertime. The kids, they are on what's called summer break. Some of the kids should have said amen, hallelujah, or something, right? But soon, that break is going to be over. And that this season is going to be over with real soon. Changes happen in life. Matter of fact, some people say that the only thing constant in life is change. Children grow up. Parents grow older, job situations change, loved ones pass away, dreams get fulfilled or sometimes even delayed, plans get interrupted, the house gets quieter, the body gets weaker, and the future sometimes changes in a way that we never thought it could. Maybe some of you are in a season right now and you're thinking like, what? Well, I would have never thought I would be in this season of life. And then some look at the same situation and look, and some of them even point, some, come on, let's be honest, sometimes we point our fingers to God. Why would you allow me to be in this situation? Why would you allow me to find myself in a situation that's not making me happy, that's not fulfilling me, that's not about my convenience? Hello, you see where I'm going with that, right? That's not about my comforts. Lord, why would you do that? And I want you to think of that, and I want us to take that into the text. Because there's a people here who are God's people, who've seen God do some miraculous things, who have seen God operate in some wonderful ways, who have some stories that they could tell and share with each of us. I mean, they could tell about being at that Red Sea and then all of a sudden seeing the hand of God open it up and allow them to go and cross over in safety. And as they're looking back, they see the enemies that are on their tail swallowed up in the floods. They've got some stories to tell. And yet, at this moment, they recognize that judgment is on them now. Now, all of a sudden, God is going to pronounce judgment upon them, and he's going to punish them for time and time and time and time again of their disobedience, of their rebellion, of their continuing to turn back into idolatry when he has wooed them and loved them and showed them his love over and over and over again, and yet they continued to play the part of the harlot. And then he told them there is going to be repercussions for these actions. And we see them. Babylonian would eventually come to Judah as well. Jerusalem would fall. The temple is going to be changed. Families would be scattered. Some would be killed and some would be scattered and taken into Babylon. There would be a remnant that would remain, but you would see a separation and change of everything around them. Life changed drastically for them. Now, I want you to see something in verse 1. Matter of fact, before I go there, Isaiah has been sharing a lot about judgment. And you kind of see a shift in chapter 40 beyond where God is now pointing to them to a future and comfort. Matter of fact, Isaiah 41, verse 1, he starts talking about comfort my people, comfort my people. He's starting to share with them hope and optimism beyond their present circumstances at that time. And yet, when you see in verse 1 in chapter 43, he says, "But now, saith the Lord that created thee." Because earlier he had been talking about some negative things regarding them and negative things that they would have. But he says, but now, the Lord that created thee, the God of Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. Brothers and sisters, when life changes, one of the things that starts to attack us right away when we find ourselves in uncomfortable circumstances, when we're living out our faith and we find ourselves in some of these distressing moments, sometimes, as I said earlier, sometimes we find ourselves in this position to God. Sometimes our identity, who we are, is challenged. We're asking God, look, because see, our belief is, look, if I'm serving God, if I'm loving God, if I'm faithful to God, then everything is going to be right by me. Everything is going to go right. Everything, you know, if you hear, you know, that's not how I preach. I'm going to tell you the straight truth. No chaser. I'm going to give it to you and all that because God redeems us from all that. And God helps us through those things, which is what we're going to talk about on today. He helps us through those things, but he doesn't take away all the issues and all the problems. But I want you to understand something even before we get too deep on that. Go back to verse 21. He says, "These people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise." He started out earlier, "I'm God. I formed you. I created you. I have purpose in you. I'm creating you even so you can be an object of praise. As other people see you, as they see the light, so I use that light. As they see your light shine, they might glorify your Father who is in heaven. As they see your light, they look to Jesus. They look to God as our Redeemer and our Protector and all that." And what he's saying right now is, your identity is in me. You're mine. You're mine. See, there were some times I remember being fearful as a child. But there's something about your dad's presence, though, all of a sudden. You know, you talk that stuff. And I have brothers, too. Usually I was one of the big brothers. All right. Usually I was the big brother they called on. I know I'm nice and stuff, but when something went down, somebody would call me, Domingo, can you come help me? My brother, Miguel, seemed to call a lot. All right, we'll tell you some stories about that later on. But the fact is, sometimes when you feel weak and when you feel that you need help, you call on someone stronger to come by your side. And that's what God is. God is saying, look, I'm first of all, God. Don't get it twisted. Don't make a mistake and all that. You understand who I am and what my power is and all that. I'm God, right? And I'm God, and you're my child. Stay right there for a little bit. I created you. I formed you. I gave you purpose. See, these are the things we forget when we're going through the things we're going through. We forget who we are. If we're shaking our hand at God, what we're saying to God is, look, I'm forgetting who you are. I'm looking at my current circumstances, and I'm judging you based upon the current circumstance. I've forgotten all the storms you've already gotten me out of before that allows me to be right here right now. I've forgotten about the goodness and the grace and the mercy you've extended to me already. I'm forgot because at this moment, I have a present crisis that's stopping me and blocking me from looking back. Because just like Peter, looking at the storm, all he's doing is looking at the storm. And sometimes that's what we do. We just continue to look at the storm and forget to see God. And what God is trying to do is point us back to, you know who I am? Do you know how powerful I am? Do you know how strong I am? And look at this. Look at this. I created you. Here's a few things that he says. I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. I called all that one verse. Look at how special we are to him. I know here he's talking to Judah, but he's talking to his people. By extension, he's talking to his people. By extension, he's talking to his people. We're his people. This is how God deals with his people. He creates us, and he creates us with a purpose, and he doesn't want us to get lost in the purpose and focus on all the things that are happening in the world and not be able to see him. Amen. All the problems, all the issues, all of this, and then the thing that we forget to see is God and who we are in him. God says, I can take anything, all things, even the bad things, and I can work them out for good in your life. All things work together for good for those that love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. That means he can redeem the issue, the mess, your problem, the current situation you're in. God can go in and step in there and take that and flip it upside down, turn it inside out, and redeem it even for himself. God is God, and we need to remember who we are. Secondly, God doesn't promise no trouble. I told y'all before, he's never told us we're going to get through this life without any problems. He's not the TV evangelist that tells you just come to Christ, and all of a sudden all the problems go away, your financial problems are gone, your marital situation is fixed, all the children that have been acting crazy all of a sudden are right. No, it doesn't work that way, right? Can God fix all those things? Absolutely. And so here, but he's not promising us that we're never going to have any problems, we're never going to have any issues, we're never going to go through things. No, life has problems. Jesus told his disciples, if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross. He tells them right from the gate. You want to follow me? Pick up a cross of suffering. The cross that put nails in my hands, nails in my feet, a crown of thorns on my head, a crown of suffering. Pick that up. That's crown of shame. Pick that up if you want to follow me. And so he tells us right from the very beginning. So it's not that we're not going to have any problems. The problem, or rather the promise is his presence. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. And when you walk through the fire, you won't be burnt, and the flames won't scorch you. You know, I don't want you to go here and take literally and go jump in the water or nothing, all right? These are metaphorical. These are literary devices to help us to be able to engage our minds and be able to see some things. And I want you to kind of think of the waters and people once again drowned in the waters. Think of the raging rivers and they're dangerous and all that. Even on the sea, even in the boat and all that, there's dangers on that water. When you go through the fire, there's danger that all of these things can consume us, can kill us. And all of them have a proper place of fear in our lives. Listen, I'm afraid to put my hand over the fire. I'm afraid of getting in too deep of water. I'm afraid of getting into roaring rapids and things of that nature. And so he's now dealing with us in our emotional states, the things that challenge us. And he's saying, even though you're going through those things, and I want you to see this key word, when. He didn't say if you pass through these. He says when you pass through. He says when you go through, when you walk through the fire, when you do those things. In other words, you're going to go through the fire. Things are going to get hot a little bit. It's going to get a little bit heavy and all that. We're going to have our moments and seasons in our life where things are heating up in our lives and we're just trying to figure things out. And I just need some comfort, Lord. That is in summer. We all complain, you know, it's wintertime, it's so cold and all that. Then summertime comes and hello. We need some AC. But it gets hot sometimes in life. And Lord's saying, no, even when it gets hot, even when you're going through some things, just like in the poem, the footprints in the sand, when you're going through some things and you think God has abandoned you and God has left you, he's really saying, look, I'm here. I'm still walking with you. I'm still continuing step by step by step. When it looks like there's only one set of footprints, that's because I'm holding you up. God is there. The fire and the fears of this life, they're real. I mean, we've got to acknowledge that how real they are, but we've also got to acknowledge how big our God is. Was the storm real? Yes. The storm was real for Peter. He's standing out there walking on water, and he's looking at this great storm around, and while he's focused on Jesus, he's walking. When he focuses on the storm, he begins to sink. Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to remember something, that you are good and you're still God and you're still at work. I want you to look at a verse. Let's look at verses 8 to 13 real quick. Isaiah 43. Verse 8 says, bring forth the blind that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled who among them can declare and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they might be justified, and let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you might know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and I've showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? He says, I'm God, and by myself there's no Savior. I'm the all in all. I'm the all powerful. I am the almighty. I am the all knowing. I am, and I am always at work. Maybe you've heard that God is always at work. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't need sleep like we need sleep. He doesn't, no, he's constantly at work, and his will is constantly at work. And I want you to understand this about our lives, that circumstances that come in our lives cannot thwart the will that God has on us, right? When we look through the journey of the Bible, we see a person of Jesus. We see different episodes that happen in the life, because, you know, Jesus wasn't just born In a manger. He was an existent God. Logos. He's everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. And so we can look at all of that, but yet we see that prophecy spoke about a Messiah that was to come from the seed of David and the lineage and all that. And if you look at the history book, you'll see that there is a journey that Jesus was going through, even in his birth, even before his physical birth, that is, in order for him to get here, that the devil kept trying to stop. He kept trying to stop his lineage. He kept trying to stop it so that Jesus wouldn't be born. But we know he was. He tried his best. But the point is this: God's will be accomplished. If you're willing, it will be accomplished. If you're not willing, it will be accomplished. God told the Israelites what would happen, and it did. He warned them about the judgment that was going to come upon them, the 70 years of captivity, and it did, like God said it would. He even before Judah was pronounced judgment, he had warned the northern tribes, and it happened just like it. He said it. He warned Judah and told them, don't make the same mistake your sister made, but they did. And he did what he said he would do. I'm stressing this for a reason. God has given us promises. He's given us as Christians promises. He's given judgment also on those who will not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what God says, he is true to what he says. And so one of the things that the Israelites needed to hear, the lesson for all of us, is that we need to hear God when God speaks. We need to, when God speaks and he warns before he does anything, like a good parent ought to do. Hello, you ought to give that warning a little bit beforehand. You don't just jump off. Here's some parenting tips for the new parents. Don't just jump off the handle and stuff like that. No, you gotta communicate. You gotta give the warnings. You gotta give the teachings and all of that and all that. And another subject for another day. God did that for Israel. They still didn't listen. And so, like a good parent, God's going to have to be true to his word. But just like a good parent, I remember disciplining my child, my children. Hello, they all got stories. They can tell you themselves. But I remember when there were times where I had to take the hand. And, you know, we grew up a little different now, you know. The pain of seeing my child in pain. The pain. Right? And while I recognized that this discipline that I was doing, usually, you know, if it got to this point, there was a reason it got to that point. But the pain that I was trying to do wasn't a pain just to inflict pain. There was a lesson in the pain. God's not allowing us to go through things just to go through them so we can have the feeling of being our behind smacked. It's not just so we can get the sting and that sensation and all that. No, there's a lesson for the sting. A lesson behind this thing. And so God is trying to, even as to Israel, he's trying to show them something. When we're going through some things in life that's a judgment that God has given, he's trying to show us something. They needed to see some things. They needed to see God. And we do too. Now, I want you to see something, and I'm about to close. He says, show us the former things, verse 9. Show us the former things. Let them bring forth their witness that they might be justified. Let them hear them and say it's truth. Let all the nations be gathered and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? And show us the former things. Sometimes when I think I used to read this a little bit differently than I read it Read it now. Before it was like, look, let's remember all the good stuff that God has done in the past. And then there was somewhere that said, don't forget. Oh, and look at verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Then you start scratching your head like, huh? Hold up. Should we remember? Shouldn't we remember? You know, like, because I preach all the time and teach you guys all the time that we ought to remember God's goodness and grace and mercy and all of that. And now he's telling us here, remember ye not the former things. He's obviously, you know, I'm setting you up, right? He's not saying don't remember all the good things that God has done. Really what he's saying is don't constrain God to what the good things he's done in the past. There are some times, listen, life, when we go through the different seasons, can feel, those new seasons can feel like a season of loss. Because you're operating, think about them now. They're leaving Jerusalem and now they're in Babylon and now everything is different. The food is different. The people are different. The language is different. The way they operate is different. And now you find yourself in a foreign land. There was one that said, come sing us one of those songs. How can we sing a song in a foreign land? We've been uprooted. Our whole lives have been turned upside down. And here we find ourselves in this new place. How can we be joyful? So what are we recognizing here? I'm recognizing the fact, instead of remembering all the good things God has done for me, instead of remembering all these things right now, what he's really saying is remember how God operates. Remember how God operates. Remember ye not the former things. Don't constrain God to operating in the same way God has always operated. God is an outside of the box God. God is not a God constrained by our thinking, by our ways, by how we do it, and all that, by our plans, by human ingenuity. No, God is God. One of my favorite Bible stories that Jesus shared was about that man who was getting ready to lose his job, the unjust steward. And he took everything he had, and all of a sudden he started writing out bills to people. You know, you owe 100 to my master, here is 50. You know, and he did a fire sale with all this man's debts and all this kind of stuff. And then Jesus praised him. It looks like Jesus praised him, not for what he did, but he's praising his ingenuity, him looking at the fact that he's getting ready to be homeless and jobless rather, and doesn't have means to be. I can't work like everyone else works. I can't beg. My pride doesn't allow me to go ahead and do that. And so Jesus looks at his ingenuity. He goes, look at you that getting ready to have nothing, but you sucked yourself up so that when you don't have, you do have. I'll have to preach that one another day. But one of the things there that Jesus says is that the children of the light, really what he's doing is sharing that the children of this world are more crafty than the children of the light. God is calling his children to stop boxing God in so much. We box God in too much. And I know there are some people that loose him too much too. That's a problem as well. But we also got to recognize God is not constrained by our thinking and by our ingenuity or by what we think and what we believe and all that. No, God is God. And that's why it says, I will work. Who can hinder it? Who can stop what I'm doing? Who can stop the plans that I already have in place in your life and in the lives of his community? And so God it desires that we recognize who he is. Don't forget what I've done. Matter of fact, the Red Sea was a Red Sea moment. It had never been done before. It was new for them. God is always working and doing something new because every crisis that you're going through is a new crisis. And so he has to match that crisis with something else. Every crisis, he's not going to fix it the same way and feel it the same way and meet it the same way. But God is God. His character is the same. His love for you never changes. I know you find yourself in different distresses and different circumstances and all that, but the same God who has carried you through the waters and the seas and the fire, he's still right here. And yeah, your situation looks just a little bit different today, but the God is the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's the same. And so if you find yourself in these new circumstances, trust God. Follow God. Follow his lead. I know life sometimes be life. Life is rough and it throws things at us. And as I stated earlier, sometimes those things that are thrown at us challenge our own identity. Lord, are you still with me? Lord, do you still love me? Lord, do you still care? Because I find myself in this situation, but he's telling us, I'm still here. Jesus in Gethsemane with the weight of the world on his shoulders and he's sweating like drops of blood. I mean, this, and all of a sudden we see him crying out to the Father. And yet, God doesn't fix it the way we would want him to fix it. See, when we cry out, Lord, take it away. And sometimes our prayer needs to be not, Lord, take it away. Lord, give me strength to get through this. Lord, give me strength. I don't know what's on the other side of this storm. I don't know what's on the other side of this. And let's just be honest. Most of our greatest growth moments, our greatest achievements have gone because we've gone through the fire and we've been refined through the fire. But we never want to go through the fire. Hello. I never want to go through the fire. I'm talking about me right now. I never want to go. I like peace. I like quiet. I like, amen. I like do my job and go home and chill, right? Let's watch some TV and all that. No phone calls. But, hey, when a preacher gets a phone call, usually. Or anyway. That's not life. Life has moments. Everything is just happy. Then the phone rings. And God was just as much God before you got that phone call as it was after. Life is challenging. But what's more challenging was when the storms of life come, that you have no shelter. The Lord provides us with that shelter. He wants to be a pavilion for us in the midst of the storm. He wants to be the shelter in time of storms are going to come in life. Do you have a shelter when it does? See, that's the difference that we have. Jesus told the story of these two lives that were built on two different foundations. And on these two different foundations, people were building their lives. One of them was building their life on the rock, Jesus Christ as a solid rock. The other was building it upon themselves, their own thinking, their own ingenuity, their own. And one day, as you built this beautiful two structures up and they both look almost identical when there was no storm. But the reality is the storm came and it beat on which house? Both. Both. We're not exempt because we're Christian. We're not going to be protected from storms because we claim and proclaim the banner of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, that alone, that's a repellent from problems. Yeah, right. That's more problems incoming. Hello. The storm beat upon both the houses, but only the one that was founded on the rock withstood the storm. The other fell, and it says great was the fall of it. I want to stand. When we're standing before him and he's calling names, I want my life to still stand when judgments and all that is being thrown at me and hurled at me as I'm standing before the Lord. I want to still stay standing. I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. I want to still stand. I want to stand with the Lord forevermore. And I'm hoping there's some this morning that want to do likewise. Maybe you're here this morning and you have yet to make that decision for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're confused and something you've been said in the past, done in the past. Well, today's a good clearing up day for all of that. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day according to scriptures. Prophets had been talking about Messiah that was coming, and then we see these fulfillments come in. The Gospels speak of this and show us the story, this beautiful story of Emmanuel, of Jesus coming into this world, God with us, coming to be with us and identify with the pains and the struggles that we go through and offer himself. His life for our lives. Maybe there's someone here ready to receive what Jesus did. He came, he died, he was buried, he rose on the third day to give us freedom. See, from the very beginning, there was a blood needed to satisfy sin. Jesus came to be that offering. The last offering that we needed, the last blood offering that we needed, and he came and he took it on himself. And now he gives you a gift this morning. Will you believe in who he is and what he did? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe? Is that belief now moving you to do something? You see, this faith isn't just an intellectual exercise, something that we know about. It's something that's done and something that's proved in our actions and all that. Jesus told his disciples and he preached to them and he shared with them and he told them to go and take this message to the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He gave them their marching orders to go and to share. But somebody now needs to respond. He told him, share the gospel, preach the gospel. And then those that hear this gospel, you can respond this morning, just like those in Acts chapter 2 did. They heard the good news. And it says in verse 37, they were pricked in the hearts. I'm about to break the microphone. They were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There's something you need to do. And on that day, 3,000 decided. When Peter got up and said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 at least responded to that call. They got up and they were baptized and they were added to the church. Maybe that's somebody's decision today. Maybe you've had all these conflicting ideas and thoughts in your head, and you know, different. I know there are different places that tell you different things and all that. You know, some people will tell you to say a prayer. Some will tell you have to speak in a tongue. Some will tell you have to do a miracle. All sorts of things that are out there. Jesus, I want to do what Jesus said. I want to do what his apostles said. I want to do just what they did so I can get what they got. Hello. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're ready to receive what they received and do what they said to do and do what Jesus told us to do. Jesus told us to repent. Peter told us to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've yet to receive forgiveness of sins and gift of the Holy Spirit, come this morning. Right now, give your life to Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. Surrender. Give your life to him and show it in baptism. If you're ready to do that, come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.